And the title of this sermon is simply, It's Your Choice. It's your choice.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, it's all about You. We've come into this place to hear from You, to worship You, to exalt You, to praise You. It is all about You. God, it is amazing grace that You would send Your Son, that He would die for all of our sins, that He would rise again on the third day, be seated, be making intercessory prayer for us always. Lord, it's amazing what You've done for us. And God, as we acknowledge that and we thank You, Lord, we ask now that You would speak to us from Your living Word, from Your powerful Word, from Your holy Word. God, that we would leave here changed, that Your Holy Spirit would have free reign in this house today, and that every single word spoken would point to You. And God, we thank You for it. We're expecting a powerful word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. How many of you guys like to make choices in here? How many of you like to have options to choose between things? Anyone? Or you like to sit down at a restaurant and they just bring you whatever? This is what you're having. Or do you like to have choices? To feel like you have some say in things, right? Like it used to be paper or plastic, you know? Coke or Pepsi. Now it's, are you going to check yourself out? Or wait and let someone else do it? I mean, there's so many options. We can choose between good and evil. Dallas and Pittsburgh, you know? However it comes out, though, we have choices to make. You know, I told John Thompson before church, last week, your sugar was high and you chose not to come because you knew I wasn't preaching. But here he is today, and I just want to praise God that his sugar is doing better and that he's feeling better. But we have choices to make. And I had a very difficult choice to make today. It was hard because last week, right before I left church, I asked Pastor, I said, do you want me to preach next week? He said, yes. And Laura said, you better wear green. And I said, I'm not wearing green. And she said, you better wear green. And I said, there's no chance I'm wearing green. And as I got up, the Lord told me to wear this green tie. And I was like, God, but then Laura's going to be happy about it. And the struggle was real, but I did wear this green tie, even though Lisa doesn't think it's green. It is. Well, there's a few wrong people here today. That's okay. I'm going to choose to continue and hope that you get set free from that before. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to look at some scriptures today, quite a few. Some of them, a lot of them, we have choices to make, but some of them are facts. You have no choice in this. So, right before this verse, it's talking about the children of Israel. They have made bad choices, and they're going to spend 70 years in captivity to Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah, through the inspiration of God, because he tells them right before this, he says, you're going to spend those 70 years, and after that's accomplished, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to perform my good towards you, and I'm going to cause you to return. And he says, because I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God thinks peace towards you. That's not, you have no choice in that. God thinks peace towards you. These were his people. He thinks peace, not evil, towards you. He wants the best for you every time. Romans 8:28. We've heard these verses time and time again, and soon we're going to know where they are. But Romans 8:28, and it says again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. It's not your choice. All things work together for good if you love God and are called for his purpose. So he has peace, not evil, for you.
good things for you when you love him. Ephesians 3:20. One of my very favorite verses. The same God that has peace, not evil for you, that says all things will work together for good for you. This is him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit. So he has peace for you, not evil. He has good for you when you love him, and he can do way more than we can even imagine. James 1:17. And if you have a hard time finding James, maybe put a mark there because we're going to be here multiple times. But James 1:17 says what? Every good, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, he has peace for us, not evil. All things will work together for good for us when we love him. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or imagine. And every good and perfect thing comes from him. That's pretty great news. I mean, that's a good, that I would consider that the premium package. Like if you're selecting something, this is getting everything. You're getting all of it. But then choices, our choices come into play. And the way that this word, the Lord told me I was going to preach this, I was speaking to someone, and we were doing this two-day project. And we'd accomplished everything the first day, and we're into it the second day. And I mean, we're making huge strides. I'm thinking 75% done. And I walk by them, and I'm like, how's it going? We still have a lot to do. And I was like, I mean, yeah, but... Like, remember yesterday morning when we started? Remember how insurmountable it seemed? Remember that? Well, yeah. I go, look where we are. Well, yeah. I said, you need to change your way of thinking. And then God said to me, or not. And I said, or don't. I said, it's your choice. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to think, we've accomplished all this and it's almost over. Or you can think, well, we still have some to do. But I said, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to look at what we've done. That's how we're told to speak and think in Philippians 4:8. But as soon as I finished it, God said, we're not. We're not. It's your choice. It's our choice. You know, and Pastor Jerry preached about that last week. And we'll even look at some of the scriptures he went over. But let's look at Joshua 24:15. Joshua's at the end of his time on earth and of leading the children of Israel. And this is his final address. And he says to the congregation, to all of the people of Israel, he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose. Choose. Make a choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That we have a choice to make every single day. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to follow God? Are you going to think on good things? Or are you going to think on your trials and tribulations? Or are you going to think on God? It's a choice each and every single day. And the title of this sermon is simply, it's your choice. It's your choice. Choose today whom you're going to serve. God wants peace for you, not evil. All things work together. He can do more than you can even imagine. Every good thing comes from him. Now choose if you want that. Choose. And you're like, well, yeah, of course I want that. Then do it. Choose it, and live in victory each and every day. Is everything going to be peachy keen? It absolutely is not, and we'll get into that. But you can choose how you will look at each and every situation. Choose you this day. How you're going to think. How you're going to serve. Whether you're going to praise him when you don't feel like it. Whether you're going to come to church when you're tired. Whether you're going to do any of these things that he tells us to do. See, that's the great thing. God doesn't make us do things. He gives us a choice. The Bible is full of choices. And just like I was sharing with that person, do it or don't. I'm going to do it. But you choose for yourself. It seems pretty miserable your way. It seems miserable to me to not appreciate and praise God each and every day. So choose. And what's our first choice, of course? Salvation. Salvation. John 3:16. What's that say? It says, for God so loved the world. So again, you can't choose this. God loved the whole world. And He gave Jesus. He gave His only begotten Son. And here's the choice. That whosoever believeth in Him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That's our most important choice. Will you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's your choice. God does not make us get saved. Sometimes that would be easier, wouldn't it? God just make us do it. But no, He gives us a choice. He chose to give His Son. Jesus chose to die on the cross, to take our sin and have it nailed there, so that we could choose. He chose to die so that we could choose to live. It's a choice. We have a choice. Salvation. Let's look at Romans 10. We're going to see the word if a lot. If, because there are choices to be made. If you'll do this. If this is what's going to happen. But if you do this, this is what's going to happen. You have a choice. You are in control. You can choose good over evil. You can choose joy over sadness. You can choose peace over anxiety. Choices. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Because it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. See, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You can choose eternity with Christ. You choose it. He did all the work and all we have to do is choose it. We accept Him, we repent, and we follow Him. It's a choice. You don't have to do it. But you can. It's a choice. We have so many choices. And after we accept Him, Matthew chapter 6. This is one of the harder things in the Scriptures that we have a choice about. Jesus' disciples had just asked Him to teach them how to pray. So He goes through the whole Lord's Prayer. And as soon as He says amen, in verse 13... In verse 14, He says, if, again, it's if, because there's a choice. If you do this, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. How many of you like that? How many of you want Jesus to forgive you? Your heavenly Father to forgive you. Great, you can have it. Forgive others. However, if you do not, in verse 15, if, again, your choice. If you forgive men not their trespasses, your Father's not going to forgive you. I know some of these Scriptures are really confusing, but this one's pretty clear cut. Forgive others, God will forgive you. Don't forgive others, He won't forgive you. It's not a mystery. It's very straightforward. It is your choice if you want forgiveness. So if you are holding unforgiveness in your heart, you've made your choice. But guess what? You can change your choice right now. You can go and you can forgive that person. You can lay that down. You can give it to Him because He forgave you of everything and nailed it on that cross. Amen. Will you forgive others even when it's hard, even when you don't want to? If you're having a hard time, ask Him to help you because it's His will for you to forgive because He wants to forgive you. If. And you know, in Romans 8, where it said all things work together for good to them that love God, everybody's like, well, I love God. Well, it says in John 14, 15, that if you love me, then you're going to keep my commandments. So don't tell him you love him, show him. That's what he's saying, show me. I'll know if you love me. It won't be by you going, I love you, God, and then not forgiving, or then going out and being hateful. It will be by keeping His commandments. Oh, no, I'll know if you love me. You'll keep my commandments. If choice after choice that we have. And what did Pastor Jerry preach about last week? I loved it. I thought it was just an awesome word, and it stuck with me all week. And let's go to Deuteronomy 11 and look at it. This seems like a really, really simple choice, doesn't it? Well, if you read past Deuteronomy 11, they didn't necessarily choose the right thing all the time. But he laid it out for them real simple. This is so simple. He says in Deuteronomy 11, starting in verse 22, if you'll diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, and love the Lord your God, and walk in all His ways, and cleave unto Him, stick by Him, then listen to what He's going to do. Then will the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you, and you're going to possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Then he goes on into what Pastor Jerry preached. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. I mean, what a promise. Here's what you have to do, and here's what I'm going to do. But he goes on, and it says, anywhere you go from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. No man will be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God's going to lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you will tread upon, as He hath said unto you. I mean, what a word, what power. If you do this, I am going to defeat your enemies. They're going to fear you. They're going to dread you coming, because they know they are defeated. And he says in verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a choice. You have a choice. Which one do you want? He didn't put his hands behind his back. I hope you get this right. Do you want the blessing or the curse? Which one? Kathy, right hand, left hand. Oh, you got the curse. No, he didn't say that. He said, do you want a blessing or a curse? Choose. Which one do you want? And he says right here in verse 27, there's a blessing if you obey. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Simple choice, right? Or a curse in verse 28, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. Which do you want? Blessing, curse? It's the same today. Do you want blessings or curses? Obey Him or disobey Him? It's your choice. If you're saying you want a blessing and you're disobeying Him, you're not keeping His commandments. You're choosing. It's not your words, it's your actions. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will give you a blessing. That's what I have for you, remember? I have evil for you. No. He said, I have peace for you, not evil. He has good. He wants blessings. He wants to give you peace. He wants all things to work out for you when you love Him and serve Him. However, He gives you a choice. You have free will, and you can choose death. You can choose the curse. You can choose eternity in hell away from Him. That's your choice. It's a terrible choice, but it is our choice. Choose life. It's that simple. So, choice one, salvation. Blessings or curses, right? Do you want eternity with Him or eternity in hell? It truly is that simple. So now that we've chosen blessings, we've chosen Christ, what about our actions and our attitudes? Now we get to choose those. Oh, that's fun. The Christian attitude, right? How are we going to be? Let's go back to James chapter 1. Again, choices. We choose Jesus. We choose salvation. We choose eternity, we're saying. Well, he gives us instructions on how to act. Instructions on our actions, our attitudes, if we choose Him. This is one of my favorite verses, because I really had to work on it. Really had to work on this one. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. That's a hard one. How many of you think of a response as soon as somebody says something to you that you don't like? I do. I immediately think of a response. And that's why we're supposed to be slow to speak. Because my response is not always as nice as it should be. I'm just being honest with you. If you say something hateful to me, I could have a hateful response. But that's a choice. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. Quick to listen. You know, I read this sales book years ago, and it said, if you want to be a successful salesman, listen. Quit talking so much. And I thought, man, that's good advice. Of course it's good advice. It's in the scriptures. Be slow to speak. All good advice, all good things come from above. Every good piece of advice is from the scriptures. Because God is good. Be quiet. Stop talking. Listen. That's what he's saying. Be quick to listen. Sometimes people need to talk to you and you need to listen. It's not always your turn to talk. So, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? It says in the next verse, for the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. We need to listen to the person that's talking and to the Holy Spirit within us. That's why we have to be slow to speak. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then he goes on and he says, do it then. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's not enough to say that you love him. Do it. It's not enough to come to church and say, oh, praise God, and then walk out of here and not live what is in this book. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. And God is telling us to choose him. We're all hearers of the word right now. Everyone sitting in here has done part of this. You're hearing the word. But also be a doer of it. We need to go out of here and do it. What we're hearing in Sunday school, what we're hearing in the ministry training center, what we're hearing on Sunday mornings, what we're hearing we need to do. It's not enough to know it and to hear it. We have to do it. That's our calling. That's our response. That's to show. You know, Lisa has gone 3 straight weeks to Charleston. She could have told her sister, I hope everything works out. I'm praying for you. But she went down and she showed the entire family Jesus. She took of her own time and she went and she picked up those kids from school and she helped clean the house and she helped do and do and do so she could show Jesus, not just talk about Jesus. Be a doer of the word. If you want someone to see Jesus, show them. Don't just tell them. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. Be doers of the word. John 16:33. That's a fun one to do. This is our attitude when things aren't super easy. And I love this verse, and I've said before, I could read it every week. Jesus is getting ready to go into the garden and then be crucified. He's getting ready to be beaten beyond recognition, to be nailed to a cross for nothing that he did, but everything that we did. And this is what he tells his disciples. He says, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. Can you imagine that? He's the one that's getting ready to go to the cross. They're not. But he says, I told you all this so that you could have peace. In the world, yes, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's easy to be of good cheer when everything's going your way. But will you be of good cheer during tribulation? He didn't say be of good cheer whenever everything is exactly the way you want it. He didn't say be of good cheer. He said be of good cheer even though you have tribulation because I have overcome the world. Will you be of good cheer during your tribulation? That's how we show Christ. That's how we're doers of the word. Not by telling people, well, let me read you a scripture. Show them. Show them. I saw a thing a couple weeks ago and it said very few sinners are going to read the Bible. But they will all read you. So how are we being read? What are they reading off of us? Are we doers? Are we of good cheer when it makes absolutely no sense to anyone else? But we know that we have Jesus Christ, that He died, that He rose, that He's alive, that He's coming again, and that we have all victory. Is that how we're living in our tribulation? Because that's how we should be living. Back to James. James 1:2. I told you guys. And I've shared this before. I used to think that this was the single stupidest verse in the Bible. I did. God knows I did. I'm not going to lie. I did. I was like, that's dumb. Count it all joy when you're going through trials. Okay. How about, I'll count it all joy when the trial's over. No. Count it all joy when you're going through the trials. You see, I didn't understand, not because God wasn't big enough, because I wasn't close enough to Him. As I've gotten closer to Him, I'm like, oh yeah, nope, I'm going to count this all joy. The other day, whenever Lisa wasn't able to come home when she was supposed to come home and ended up getting pushed back. She was going to have to drive at night and it was pouring down the rain. And she called me and I said, let me just ask you. I said, are we upset about this or are we okay about this? And she said, I am counting it all joy. And I said, amen. I said, I was just going to be quiet and let you vent if you were upset, but I would much rather count it all joy. I'm a terrible person to have a pity party with because I truly look for the best in everything. Because that's what the scriptures say to do. It's not much fun. This is awful. Well, it could be worse. And people just look at me and I'm like, no, it could be. Like, let's find some good in this. That's what the scripture tells us to do. It says count it all joy. It says be of good cheer. It says think on good things. So that's what I try and do. Like I said, come to me if you want uplifted. Don't come to me if you want to be sad. It's just I'll be quiet and listen. But I'm not going to jump in because I'm not sad. I'm not. I'm full of joy. Yeah, sometimes it can be very irritating. I mean, and I know it. Just stay away from me if you want to be upset. And when you've come around, then I will join in. What else do we need to do? Matthew 11. Again, here's a choice that we have. Matthew 11, verse 28. This is a choice, and it seems so simple when you look at it. Jesus says, hey, come on, come to me. Come on. He doesn't make you, he's inviting you. Come, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I will sell you rest. If you work hard enough, you'll accomplish rest. If you do enough good, he says, come and I'm going to give you rest. He's giving it to you. And we're over here just, no, I'm good. I got it, God. He's like, come, come on. I see that you don't have it. Come and I'm going to give you rest. He says, take my yoke and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are we holding on to this stuff for? He's like, come on. Come on. Give it to me. I can take it and I'm going to give you rest. And we choose not to. We choose to hold on to it and to have our pity parties and to be up. Stop it. Choose to come and give it to Jesus. He wants it. He'll take it. Philippians 4:8. One of my very favorite verses. And I want you all to try to remember this. Philippians 4:8. How can we remember that? Philippians 4:8. We can remember it by Philip. Philip, how old are you? We can say, Philip's nowhere near 48. How many of you will remember that? Philip's nowhere near 48. Sorry, Philip. But listen, he's doing great. Philippians 4:8. See what I mean? Sometimes I need to be slow to speak. That's how my mind works. Sorry, Philip. But you've been instrumental in us remembering that. Philippians 4:8 says, what are we supposed to do? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. If there's any virtue and there's any praise, think on these things. I truly tell you, I do this constantly because I don't want to think about my trials. I want to think about good things. I want to think about pure things. I want to think about what Jesus has done for me, where He's brought me from, where He's going to take me to. Why would I worry about what's going on in this temporary world when I have chosen eternity with my Maker? When I know that I'm to be of good cheer? When I know that I can count it all joy because He holds the victory? He defeated death. He's given us everything we need. He has nothing but good for us. I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to be happy and excited. I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to think on Him. Yes, things are going to come. Yes, trials are going to come. Yes, tribulation's going to come. But I'm not going to think on them. I'm going to think on Him. When Pastor Jerry said last week that oppressive spirits come upon us, oppressive, depressive, depressing, anxiety, all these spirits come and they want... You know what? I'm going to run to my Father and I'm going to think on the things that He has for me. And I'm going to tell those spirits they have no place. They are defeated and they must go because God is victorious and the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within each and every one of us. So think on these things. Yes, praise God. We have victory. Last choice. Our priorities. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. A lot of people will take this and they'll misuse this. And they'll use this as some sort of prosperity message or some sort of get rich or nothing bad's going to happen. But as we read this, it's true. We just have to set our priorities correctly. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Okay, I will take $1 million. Seek and you will find. Maybe the money's under one of these chairs, right? Knock and it will be opened. Maybe the money's back there. I'll go knock and see, right? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be... He's telling you to come to Him and He will give you rest. And He will tell you what to seek, His kingdom. He'll tell you what to ask for, and we'll look at that. But it goes on and it says, everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. What man is there of you, if his son will ask him bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, us, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He has nothing but good for you. He wants the best for your life. You may not know what that looks for. He may tell you no to things that you ask for because they will harm you. He only gives good and perfect gifts. That doesn't mean that we always understand why. But know that He is good. He has nothing but peace for you, not evil, right? He can do anything and He wants the best for you. So what things should we do? You want financial freedom? Malachi 3. You know, I heard of a conversation one time that I wasn't involved in. And somebody was asking about tithing. They said, well, how do you tithe? We said, well, you give 10%. Well, of what? Of the gross. Said, well, I'm not doing that. Does your church want to see your bank statements? No. No, the church doesn't want to see your bank statements. There's a box in the back. Give or don't give. That's on you. And look what God says here about it. He says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But He says, even from the day of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. He says, return to me. It's a choice. Return to me, and then what? I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He hasn't gone anywhere. We return. He's right there. But then you ask, where shall we return? And He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and in offerings. Here it is. You're cursed with a curse that you have chosen because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at the debt our nation is in. You think they've turned their back on God? Do you think they're doing? No, they're not. But we as individuals can. We as a church can. He says, bring your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. He says, and then test me now, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. If you give God what is His, He will give you way more. I would tell that person, and I was not there, I would tell that person, don't give. Don't give to God. And we'll see who runs out of money first, you or God. Because He will not. He does not need your money. He wants to bless you for being obedient and giving Him 10%. That is it. He wants to bless you. So give or don't. It's your choice. But if you do it, there's a blessing for you. And if you don't, there's a curse for you. It's that simple. Choose what you will do. This church does not need your money. God does not need your money. But you need money, and He will bless you when you are obedient and give cheerfully. And what do we ask for? So we've seen how to get blessings financially. What do we ask for? How many of you feel like sometimes you don't know what to do? How many of you wish that sometimes you had more wisdom? Guess what? Guess what? You can have it. Let's go back to James chapter 1. When I read this verse several years ago, I started every single morning praying for wisdom. I pray for wisdom each and every day because of what this scripture says. God told us what He would do, so I'm going to take Him up on it. I'm going to tithe and see if He doesn't bless me. I'm going to ask for wisdom and see if I don't get it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then what? We'll see if He gives you some. Ask and then hold your breath. Right? No. He says it as a matter of fact. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It'll be given to you. If you lack wisdom, ask for it and you'll have it. It's there for you. He wants to give it to you. And it says in verse 6, though, but ask in faith. When I ask, I expect that God will do what He says. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave, and the sea drives the wind and is tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ask for wisdom and then expect wisdom. He'll give it to you. I mean, I believe all of this. So when he says he'll do something, I take him up on it. And guess what? He does it. He gives you wisdom because he wants you to have it. And you want me to give you just this? Don't tell anyone this. You know what wisdom is? It's doing everything in this book. Everything in this book. It's taking all of it literally and it's doing it and applying it to your life. That's wise. You will be successful. You will be blessed. You will have joy. You will have peace. Because he says that's what he has for you if you obey him. Ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you. And lastly, back in Matthew 6. What do we ask for? What are we seeking? What are we trying to get? Well, he tells us not to take any thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Even if you do wear a green tie, Donna Marie. Don't take any thought about those things, right? Because these are the things that non-believers seek, the Gentiles seek in this text. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all that. Seek ye first. Remember? He says, seek and you will find. Seek ye first the kingdom. This is what we're to be seeking. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the other things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God. I pray every morning that God will give me wisdom. I pray every morning that He will use me to further His kingdom. And then when He gives me opportunities to do it, I don't complain about it anymore. I used to ask for opportunities and then I would start to get them and I'd be like, well, this is, oh no, you asked for this. Fair enough, I did ask for this. So now I count it all joy even if I don't love the opportunity. I'm just being honest. Ask God to use you and He will use you. You may not love the way He chooses to use you, get over it. Count it all joy. Be of good cheer. We have a choice to make today. Joshua 24:15, what did it say? He says, choose you this day. And that's what God's telling us. Choose Him. Because what's He have for us? Peace, not evil. Will all things work out for us? Yeah, if we love Him. And if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments, right? He can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or ask. We just have to choose it. We have to choose it. It's your choice. Do you want blessings or curses? My hands aren't behind my back. It's right out in the open. God's not trying to trick you. He's asking you, blessing or curse? Choose. Do you want anxiety or do you want peace? Peace, right? Do you want fear or do you want courage? He said, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. He will never leave us or forsake us. Do you want wisdom? Ask for it. You're having problems financially? Give. And He'll test him and He will win. He will pour out blessings upon you. He wants the best for you. He has nothing but good. It's your choice. He wants to give you good. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are holy, that You are perfect, that You are righteous, and that all that You have for us is good. Oh God, You want to give us good, and so many times we choose evil. You want to give us blessings, and so many times we choose the curse. God, help us to see when those choices are come up. Help us to see scripturally what we should do, Lord, that we should be doers of the Word. We should be of good cheer. We should count it all joy. We should give and do so cheerfully. We should give forgiveness so that we receive forgiveness. God, I ask for more opportunities for each and every person in here that wants them to seek Your kingdom. I ask for more opportunities for us to be a light in a dark world, that we could point to Jesus. We can say, yeah, it's tough, but I'm of good cheer because I serve a risen King. I serve Almighty God, and He is victorious. God, I ask for opportunities to live this out and for us to choose You every single time. How many of you want to choose God each and every single time? Raise your hand in this place. If you want to, God sees your hands. God sees your heart. God, I pray right now for everyone that raised their hand, for everyone that says, I want to choose You, Lord, that You would open up their eyes. You would show them, Lord, in ways that they can choose You that they didn't even know. Lord, that You will show us how to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. That You will show us, Lord, everything that You have for us, and we will choose it each and every time. God, I pray a blessing on everyone that hears this Word, that they know it's from You, out of Your Word, and that all You have for them is good. And we thank You and we praise You for Your truth and Your clarity in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.